SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Welcome back, my people. This is I Am Athlete Tonight, and I am your host, your quarterback, your point guard. Yes, I'm the point guard, Auntie Chantel Trimetere, and Mr. Award-winning NFL columnist, Omar Kelly, who was just inducted to the Writers Hall of Fame yesterday. 25 years, Auntie.
Greatest, but it took 35 years.
One, do you know there is a Writers Hall of Fame? And I'm not inducted into it.
So what did you get inducted to yesterday?
No, I got Florida Sports Writer of the Year.
Same thing.
Same thing.
It's not Hall of Fame. It's like making the playoffs one year. It doesn't mean you're going to the Hall of Fame.
What happens is if you stack a couple of those, then you got an opportunity. You got your chance to get into the Hall of Fame, right?
I should.
Embrace it, nephew. You in the Hall of Fame on our show.
Listen. We're going to talk more about Omar Kelly being inducted to the Writers Hall of Fame. Super dope. We always got to give our teammates flowers. Look, we have a dope show tonight in store for you tonight. You need to lock in. Don't change the dial. Lamar Jackson and Bernard Pollard both had a case of Twitter fingers on T. We'll discuss that. Omar Kelly, did you hear about Andre Iguodala and what he said? He talked about Rasheed Wallace, ex-Blazer Piston. He said if he played today, he'd be top five player and better than Giannis. That's what he said. Oh, someone is saying Saquon Barkley ain't it. It ain't me. But look, and this person also said, and it won't ever be. But before we get into the show, I want to bring in our super producer, Anthony. Anthony, what we got going on here, man? I'm hearing some talk about Kevin Durant. I'm hearing some talk about LeBron James. What we got, Anthony?
I'll take the title of super producer. It sounds like I'm like super shredder. Like I'm maximized at this point. I'll take it. It's been 2 weeks since we know Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. And it's no secret. Everyone knows Durant's desire is to head to the Valley and be a member of the Phoenix Suns. While the Toronto Raptors, the Pelicans, the Golden State Warriors, and other clubs are rumored to be involved for the 12-time All-Star, Greg Schwartz of Bleacher Report is saying something that we're possibly overlooking that would change the landscape, in my opinion, no hyperbole, the biggest trade in sports history. Here's what he is suggesting, and I wanted you guys to chime in a little bit. The trade is simple. One for one. Kevin Durant to the Los Angeles Lakers for LeBron James. I'm going to toss it back over to you, B. Marsh. What are your thoughts about that deal? It makes sense on a lot of fronts. Take it away.
So the first thing that comes to mind, I disagree with you, Anthony. I don't think this would be the biggest trade in sports history. Omar Kelly, you're looking at me. I wish you listeners can see the video of this. Omar's looking at me like I'm crazy. Like I got three eyes. Look, brother, like if this happened when they were in their prime, I mean, you could say that KD maybe kind of in his prime still, then it would go down as one of the biggest trades ever. Is it a big deal? Absolutely. When I first heard this, Anthony, I thought this is wow. This would never happen. It doesn't make any sense. But the more I thought about it, I said it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, Omar, Auntie, because Kevin Durant, he doesn't want to be there. If you want to leave and you want to have a soft landing, where do you want to go? You want to go to a premier franchise. The Los Angeles Lakers, the last I saw, was a premier franchise. Now, will he go there and be able to win right now? Probably not if AD don't be AD and if he don't stay healthy. But they could potentially do it, but that's a big if, a lot of big ifs. Why does it make sense for LeBron James, Auntie? It makes sense for LeBron James because LeBron James, whether he says it or not, he's chasing. Well, he said it. I'm chasing Michael Jordan. How does he get to six? He got to go win. It's a better roster over there. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and then you got Ben Simmons. Please. And he can stay in New York. Auntie, the last I saw, on Instagram, on social media, I saw your little trick shots, cute.
But what I also including the one that you missed.
Yeah, right. But I also saw LeBron James training in New York, okay, with Kevin Love and with the Brickley coach, the legendary hoops coach. And he may be working on something. He's been in New York a little too much this offseason.
He's probably working on a production of a film or a movie or documentary or series. Listen, before Auntie comes in and gives us the basketball element, let me tell you why this makes no sense for this trade makes no sense. Because LeBron James is not leaving L.A. He is not leaving his lifestyle in L.A. He is not leaving the West Coast. Bronny, in his Bronny's senior year, are you serious? Do you have kids? Do you realize you can't uproot a child in their senior year?
Them kids.
Listen.
Damn.
That's Bronny's moment. And you know, his wife, what's her name? I forget what her name is.
Savannah.
Savannah's not going to let LeBron go out on the East Coast by himself without supervision. Are you crazy? LeBron ain't going nowhere. He is a Laker for the remainder of his career from a family standpoint. So this makes no sense. LeBron is never going to let it happen. And that's why it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen. But the question is, would it be the biggest in NBA history? I think so. One. Yeah. LeBron just bought a $37 million house in Los Angeles. He ain't going nowhere. The reason he's chilling and working out in New York, the man's worth $1 billion. Like, he could go to Maui just to work out if he wanted to. Right. And so, but basketball wise, if you look at the numbers, 2 championships for Durant, 4 for LeBron James. LeBron played 19 seasons. Kevin Durant, 14 seasons, 15 playoffs. LeBron, 11 playoffs. KD, both of them been MVP. Both of them played over 12 All-Star games. I mean, both of them been finals MVP. Like, you look at their stats and what they've done, there's no other player, I believe, besides maybe Giannis, that you could trade 1-to-1 for Bron. Kevin Durant is one. Now, like, to your point, Brandon, and thank you for the trick shots. And yes, let me remind you that we did have one together.
Did you get to a million followers yet on TikTok yet? Crack a million?
I'm waiting for y'all to crack 500,000 first.
Wow.
Hey, I'm at 893,000. So that's not even quite as much as, that's what LeBron makes in like a game or something. But look, he, now if the trade is made, I agree with you, Brandon, it makes the Nets a really, really good team. He's reunited with Kyrie. You get a healthy Ben Simmons back. LeBron can play anywhere. He's played in the East a couple times in a couple different places. So that's not, I think it would make them automatically the best team in the East. But you're right. At the end of the day, Bronny out at Sierra Canyon and Bryce killing it now on the AU circuit. And he's being able to go watch his family. He's a great family man. I do disagree with you, nephew Omar. I do think that if LeBron went out there, I don't think that Savannah would worry about that at all. LeBron's always been a loyal and faithful husband. And so I don't think she would worry about that at all. I see your face. And,
you see these Miami streets?
Yeah, but he really has been, though. Seriously, think about all the really big superstars and things like that.
He's
what
done
what kind of scandal have you ever heard about LeBron? So, I don't think where he goes would matter, whatever. The Lakers aren't going to do it. The Nets would love to do it, I think. But now he ain't going nowhere. But it would be a pretty good trade, I think.
I've actually looked up the biggest trades in all sports history. And if that trade did go down, it would be the biggest trade in all sports history.
There you go.
It's the only one that would involve a superstar for a superstar. Mm. Every trade that involved Chris Paul or Kevin Garnett did not involve a superstar coming back. Even the Shaq trade did not involve really superstar, unless you consider Lamar.
I disagree. Some of these blockbuster trades that we've seen in sports, where you get a superstar with all of these, first round picks, second round picks, and maybe they throw in a player or so and a water boy, like those are bigger to me than this. Like,
superstar.
It's a wash. It's a wash. This isn't 2012 when they were in their prime.
I don't think it makes the Lakers better.
All right. So what's the number one? So outside of this, take them out of it.
The Herschel Walker trade for Dallas Cowboys. They got a ridiculous amount of draft picks. That
18 players.
But Ricky Williams wasn't. I mean, Ricky Williams for an entire draft. That is pretty significant. But from a basketball standpoint, they're saying that Dwight Howard trading from the Orlando Magic, James Harden getting traded from Oklahoma City Thunder, and then Jason Kidd getting traded from Dallas Mavericks. Those are some of the biggest NBA trades and really everything else is, you know, Mark McGuire or Miguel Cabrera players who developed into players. But yeah,
so let's do this. We know we have some super listeners that love Mad Dog Sports Channel. Call us. We want to hear from you. 866-603-8317. Wrong. I gave out.
Get it right.
One. Don't call that one. Call 888-623-3646. Let me say that again. 888-623-3646.
Or call Brandon's personal number at 404-618-9.
He does give out his personal number.
No, I'm just playing. But
text me 917.
No, sir.
917-540-8893. Text me.
Look, hey. At the end of the day, the biggest trade in sports, the biggest trade is going to go down is that $230 million trade that you made and then your player can't play. That's going to be the biggest trade. That Deshaun Watson's trade when you pay $230 million guaranteed for a player that you ain't even guaranteed.
He's gonna get 4 to 6 on T.
4 to 6 what?
Well, he's not like you crazy. He's way more than that.
Yeah,
Deshaun Watson.
He's done for half a season.
He got to be.
No question.
Okay, then I mean, if it's not a full season, then it's still. You know, let's take all the other stuff out of it. It was still a great trade for Cleveland.
No, even if it's a full season, it's still a great trade for Cleveland. Because
if he come back, that means he sat for 2 years, though.
But all right. Let's push the conversation forward. I know there's some Andre Ayton news there. Before we do that, Anthony, I just want to say this. You know, Auntie and Omar, you guys talked about how it would be a bad trade for LeBron, right? You know, sometimes as a player, you know, when you're sitting there and you're chasing greatness, right? And you're thinking about, I got a couple years left. You're trying to do everything to get everything out of your body to optimize every opportunity, right?
That's so, right.
You know, the perfect scenario is for him to stay in LA. Makes a lot of sense to me, Anthony.
It's warmer.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the end of the day, that $37 million house that you talked about, Omar, hell, he could be there in 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? He can play 2 years, go win, you know what I'm saying? Then go right back to LA. Career. No. Hell, they're not even – how many times – how much is he home anyways?
See, last year –
80-something games.
Last year was the first year in LeBron's career where we actually saw him break down. Now, the question is, we all – you as an athlete and Auntie Chantel as an athlete – you know, there is a point when your body starts to betray you. Now, for LeBron, we've all watched LeBron and we've said, when are we going to get to that point? The question is, did he get to that point last year or was that an aberration?
I don't think so.
Go ahead, Matthew.
No. Well, think about it. You know, with so many injuries, right? Russell Westbrook out, damn near AD out, damn near the whole season. LeBron had to really carry that team. Right. And there was times when he went on like a 5-game stretch of 40. Like, so he was pushing himself really, really hard. And I think anybody at that age, when you really got to push that team, a team like that and push your body, he was playing the one all the way to the five. Right. That's going to break your body down, period. But I think, you know, what you were saying, Brandon, about him being in L.A. Look, if you just think about it. If he gets Kyrie, are you a better championship team with LeBron James, Kyrie, and AD, a healthy AD, or LeBron, a KD? I mean, a LeBron, a Kyrie and a Ben Simmons, and in the cold, in the freezing cold in New York.
Yeah, but yeah, but they playing football like they outside.
No, but I'm saying, but what the better scene? I mean, the better team, and still, hey, I don't care. Even after practice, you know, even after practice, and you go outside, and sometimes that New York weather that puts your ass on pause.
Your basketball players are soft. Y'all can.
We are, but we practice.
They don't even deny it. They're like,
nah, we practice inside, so why should we worry about the outside weather? Y'all practice outside, so you get used to that. But
go on the field without sleeves on and
go without their shirts on.
Yeah, no, you're right. You caught me. You caught me without their shirts on.
So this is who you trying to move. This is your host just for tonight. Who is Deuce? Who is Ashley? Please. And even Omar Kelly tried to moonlight in this position a little bit. I'm crushing all of them. This is a competition over here. God. I'm joined with my teammates, Omar Kelly and Auntie Chantel Trimeter. Anthony, come in. I know I threw out Andre Ayton, but I know you have a question about LeBron James. People are texting me right now on my line saying, keep this conversation going.
Yeah, we're going to get to Ayton in a second. But one thing that I wanted to throw out to you guys, obviously, we're having a conversation here, a theoretical conversation. It probably is not going to happen, but it's interesting to talk about. Let's continue then. Let's push it forward. Let's say someone shows LeBron a crystal ball and says, you're guaranteed to win a championship with the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, so what does that mean now? That means he has won a championship for every organization he's played for. Mm. And he brings a championship to Brooklyn. Does he then say yes, or more likely to say yes to the deal?
I don't think he is. I personally believe LeBron is at a point where it's nice to say I'm chasing Jordan. It's great. That's what everybody wants to hear. LeBron is chasing lifestyle, happiness, financial viability, success, and empire. Championships is not going to bring him any more greater empire than what he's already building. LeBron is building a production company where maybe if he does it well, he can make what, $500 million a year? Who gives a crap about basketball?
See, that's your problem, Omar. Omar, the money is everything for Omar. Remember we was talking about the Liv golf thing?
Oh, I'm still down with Liv.
Talking about taking Saudi.
I'm taking that Saudi money, and I don't care what Tiger Woods got to say. Everybody who took the Saudi, Tiger's coming out talking about, oh, they turned their back on the PGA. No, they cashed a check. That's what they did. Turned their back on the PGA. Turned their back on the league that created on the PJ that created. Look, they cashed a check and got paid. That's what they got.
Money's the root of all evil, man. So, listen, he takes it. Auntie, he takes it. He absolutely takes it. There's one thing that he missed. Yes, you highlighted it perfectly, Omar. All the things that he wants, the things that he's already built. He, brother, newsflash, the Spring Hill is already worth $740 million. They just sold minority stake. He's balling already. So you are right there, but you forgot one thing. LeBron James is absolutely still chasing championships and success. Think about this, man. Look at this dude's body right now. Look how he's training every day. LeBron is strategic. Why would he be in a gym right now and posting these videos? He's showing you guys that this is his year. This is his bounce back year. So he wants it all.
He wants a championship, and you're right. Can he get it all? We don't know. But I'm going to take a little bit of what Omar said is, you know, I think he is chasing rings and that he's setting himself up in the future. You know, this is a guy who, remember, he said, I want to own an NBA team. I want to own a team in Vegas. And then if I go down to Vegas and I win a championship, then guess what? Jordan hasn't won a championship yet as an owner. So then the conversation changes. Hey, look what I've done after basketball and things like that. So I'm not sure that LeBron is waking up every morning and saying, I want to be like Jordan. I want to be better than him, because some of his stats are already better than him. Right. No, he's going to be the all time leading scorer of all time coming up this year. He's always going to be chasing.
No, Michael Jordan is just one of those figures that you can have. You can beat all his records, have better stats in every single category, but it's Michael Jordan.
Think about this.
Go over and beyond, right, for us to go out there and say he is the GOAT.
Think about this. When somebody tells you, let me go get some ones, what do you think automatically?
Strippers.
Oh, my God. I'm dead. Think about it. I'm going to go buy some ones. It's all about the money. You ain't even laugh. It's Jordans. It's sneakers. Like the Jordan empire with shoes has kept Michael Jordan so relevant. Jeez. And LeBron doesn't have that. So LeBron needs something. You know what I'm saying? To leave his legacy.
Media, like Omar said, right?
That's
like
what I'm saying. He's trying to build that.
He has that. All right. Anthony, our super producer, come back in. Talk to us a little bit about Andre Ayton. What the hell is going on in Arizona?
You guys give me a second. I'm still collecting myself over what just Omar and Kelly just said.
Hey, listen.
You said I was trying to go. Strippers. He the one that bring in five ones. You shouldn't even have ones. You just have fives and tens and 20. You talk with DeAndre.
Stretch, auntie.
Talk about DeAndre.
Stretch. For now, I need to clip that off. That was the line of the year so far. All right. So a player heavily rumored to be involved in the Kevin Durant talks was DeAndre Ayton, who has agreed to a four-year, $133 million contract with the Indiana Pacers, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski on Thursday afternoon. The Suns have 48 hours, like a movie, have 48 hours to counter the offer to keep Ayton in the desert. I'm going to toss it over to you, Auntie. If the Suns do not retain Ayton, are they making a mistake?
Absolutely. Because who do you trade for Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you are Kevin, you're the biggest trade request. You're the biggest star right now, his number one destination. And if you lose your biggest asset, because you're not going to trade Booker, you can't trade Booker, and that's your biggest asset. And so I think it takes Phoenix off the table, and I think it's closer to, it's going to be Miami Heat for Kevin Durant. So yeah, I do think they let him walk, though. I don't think that they're going to match that. I don't think they want him.
How do you lose an asset, one of your biggest assets, for nothing? They already see, this is where the NFL, when you're a restricted free agent, if your agent can get somebody else to make the offer for you, mm-hmm. okay, you've done the work for me, for the team. Now we just got to sign you to the contract.
Right.
Okay, Indiana did the work for you. The contract is agreed to. Okay, now you got to sign him. The question, Auntie, is DeAndre Ayton worth 4 years, $133 million?
Yes, but yes. He needs to grow. Oh, go ahead. You ask Auntie.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm going to defer to you, nephew. I'm saying yes and prove our case.
Yeah, yes. I mean, but he does need to grow up, Auntie.
Right.
I'm being honest. I'm being real. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we got little birdies here and there.
Right.
Look. Is he worth it? Absolutely. But dog, man, you are a professional basketball player. And we know this whole thing more than an athlete. I am an athlete. We know we can do more than play basketball. But damn, man, I want you to be hooping more than you playing games.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got Chris Paul and you got Devin Booker, who's super locked in. They're super mature. They're ready right now. There ain't another. They CP3 don't got another year.
Right.
So is he worth it? Yes. But I think those guys are looking for, you know, potentially, you know, this dude to mature, or hopefully they can, you know, use him as a piece to go get somebody else. And if it's Kevin Durant, it's lights out, baby.
Right. Well, even if they get Ayton back because of his salary numbers, they wouldn't be able to trade for Durant till December 15th, I think. Actually, I know. It's not even a question.
Say that again.
If they match an offer sheet, and with the intentions of trading him later, they can't trade him until December 15th at the earliest, which is 2 months into the next season, and they can't trade him to the offering team for at least a year.
Mm. Mm.
Oh well, Durant gonna have to wait until December. But why give up a piece? Why give up a valuable piece, your third best player, for no reason?
No, I just don't think they value him as a max contract guy.
I think they do. I disagree. I think they do. I just think that, you know, the maturity level is just not there. Right?
Well, that's why he ain't worth it. If he's not worth it off the court, you're going to pay him his money on the court?
Yeah, I just contradicted myself. But basically what I'm saying is, as a physical specimen, like he's
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, come on, absolutely. Man. You got an opportunity to go win a championship. Now, you know, it's not all on him, right? You know, CP3 got banged up.
Right.
You know, CP3 had a couple of games where he wasn't CP3, but, you know, this dude is next level, man. 2 years ago, what he did in the playoffs, man, and how he embraced the hard leadership, how he embraced his role, just need that more consistent.
Number one pick 4 years ago. Like, we'll
Anyways.
See. Speaking of one of the greatest, you know, I'm with my boys.
Who produced it?
I want to talk about myself. They already know by now. So anyway, speaking of greatest, I'm with one of my boys, one of the greatest sports writers in Florida history, future Hall of Famer that it only took him 22 years, Omar Kelly, and one of the best NFL wide receivers ever to play without a ring, Brandon Marshall. And I bring up Brandon Marshall because I'm talking about people have underestimated him his whole career, and he proved everybody wrong. And so I'm going to shoot it to our producer, Anthony, to talk about a certain running back that is getting a little flack from some people. What you got, Ant?
Oh, I love that, Auntie. Thank you for the setup. So Saquon Barkley has had a rough couple years with injuries and a result of being on a bad New York Giants team. Entering the league with much-deserved hype, it's fair to say that Barkley has not lived to expectations thus far in his career. According to one anonymous offensive coach, Barkley doesn't quite know how to play the position, as told to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. This is the quote. I'm down on him. He still doesn't know how to play running back enough. He's a bouncer. He wants everyone to be a home run. He's going to have it to learn that a four-yard run in this league are good instead of stopping, cutting back, and losing two. Gets his ass kicked in protection. Right. Auntie, is this fair criticism of Saquon?
Hey, you know what? To be honest, I know when to throw it to an expert. And so I want to throw it to Brandon first because I'd love to hear his take on this. And you know, I think Saquon's a great running back. Is he considered a bust? I mean, we just don't know yet, right, B? But we're going to see. What do you think?
So listen, this show's called I Am Athlete, and this is tough for me because this is a safe place for athletes, right, where we can have these real conversations and guys can get things off their chest and gals can get things off their chest. But, you know, I got to keep it real. I'm always going to keep it real. His assessment of Saquon is fair and it's right. Now, he's off though, Auntie. He's off when he says that he doesn't know how to play the running back position. Okay.
Right.
He knows how to play the running back position, but Saquon is a bouncer. Saquon has got his ass kicked in pass pro, right? And then the pass pro thing is more of a mindset. It's a mentality where, you know, not every great running back wants to do that. Saquon has bounced, but you got to look at it this way, Omar, and this is what I love about you and your football perspective, because you're one of the few, not one of the few, there's a lot of writers out there that does this. You know, they actually watch the All-22 and actually know what
now
they're talking about.
Watch the All-22.
Yeah, but you were doing it from day one, right? And so what I love about you is you know the game, and if you look at the Giants, Omar, look at their offensive line over the last 5 years. So there's validity behind Saquon's approach to the running back position, you know, why he bounces it. So, Auntie, I appreciate you throwing it to me. The thing that I would say is that Saquon does bounce it. He does get his ass kicked in pass pro at times, right? I think that's a mindset. I think you'll see a better Saquon because he knows his back is against the wall. Omar Kelly, let's not forget that this dude's a freak. Let's not forget that this dude been playing a running back position since he was 6 years old, okay?
He was a freak before the injury.
Was.
He was hyped up to be the cleanest, best running back prospect in the NFL to come out since
Adrian Peterson.
Not really Adrian Peterson, the one with the Rams.
The Rams?
Well, yeah, the Rams.
Oh, you're talking about Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley. That's absolutely. So, and Adrian Peterson before him. Now, what's happened is Saquon had two decent productive seasons where he was a star. His first year, his rookie year, averaged 5 yards per carry. Caught 91 passes, you know, ran for 1,300 yards. People weren't talking about, he's limited and he bounces outside. And they still had a crappy offensive line. You know, next year ran for 1,003 yards. Then he got hurt in 2020. What's the issue is he came back from an injury last year. And, you know, you're never always fully back that first year you're coming back. Now this is the make or break season. And he's going to have to prove that he is the old Saquon in a money year, because this is really a contract year for him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Saquon does bounce too much outside. But right. does he get what he needs from his offensive line? The answer to that question is no.
I agree with most of what you said. The only thing I don't agree with is him having to prove that he's the old Saquon. I think he needs to prove that he's the new Saquon. You know, coming after that injury, he still played 13 games and he didn't crack the 600-yard mark. And the fact of the matter is, if you're going to draft a player number two, you know, you want him to be the franchise cornerstone for at least like a decade and for him to be a star. And right now, you know, you're paying the price. You got a depleted roster and you have a supposed star who's far from a star. And you're right. He has to prove something this year. And you know what? Run up the middle, you know, show them big quads that you're showing all over, or use them big quads that you're showing all over Instagram and TikTok and run the ball.
No, auntie.
Yeah. Every run doesn't have to be a home.
Gotta have a line for run.
This is why I said no, auntie, and cut you off, is because what? It's the same for you as a point guard, right? You know, when a coach got in your head, or if a coach ever got in your head at point guard, auntie, and they're trying to tell you how to feel the game, then that's when you lose your game, right? And running back is the same thing. It's like, he can't let them get in their head. Like, that's his greatest attribute. His vision, the greatest right? attribute for our great running backs is their feel and their gut.
Right, but you making my point. You made a great point for me. Thank you, nephew, because as a point guard, yeah, if I love to run and gun down the floor, right, and I like to make crazy passes, and I love athletic guards and athletic centers running down the court, and then all of a sudden, like I had in my second year in Utah, we have a 7'2" center come in who can't run to save her life, right? Now I got to change up the way I play to get her the ball. We got to slow the game down to get her the ball. Because once we know we get her the ball inside, like, that's money. She's 7'2", right? And so I think you're right what you said about the offensive line. His offensive line was trash. And you know, maybe he gets a better offensive line. Like you said, like, his mentality changes and he can say, wait a minute, I don't have to bounce it out all the time. Because guess what? Right. I'm seeing holes that I saw with my great offensive line at Penn State. So I'm seeing holes and I'm hitting that hole straight up the middle. And although I want every run to be a home run, that home run doesn't have to be up the sideline. It can right. be straight up the middle and make listen, a safety miss. And then you're done. You're gone.
Right. And auntie, this is on me. I should have done my work. One of our producers, please look up. Did they make any moves at the offensive line? Right. Because that's a big deal. Because if say they didn't make any moves on the offensive line, OK, and Saquon has a down year, mm-hmm. we're going to say, oh, he's a bust. He's a bust. But mm-hmm. the reality is he doesn't have what he needs up front. That's everything. Right. But Omar, are you familiar with the name Brian Daboll?
Yeah, love him. One right. of my favorite offensive coordinators from Dolphins tenure. Coached you in 2011. I'm a big fan of what he did in Buffalo, but he also doesn't necessarily believe in the running game.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah. That's why I brought it up. That's another thing. We talked about the offensive line. Now I'm talking about the offensive coordinator.
John Feliciano with the center is really their only addition this offseason.
Where did he come from?
I think Buffalo.
Okay.
Not all even right. worth mentioning. So no.
Would you say
upgrades.
John? I don't. When
they signed Matt Gano too, didn't they?
Oh, they got a guard, Jamil Douglas, as well. I mean, I don't know. Maybe a caller can call in and let us know.
If you think Jamil Douglas is good, no, sorry.
You know Jamil Douglas?
Yes, I covered him with the Dolphins. He's not even worth mentioning.
Really?
Yeah.
And then
they started 10 different players.
Tackle. Maybe we need a caller right now. Because
they started 10 different players up front last season.
Yeah, they're struggle city. I think the Giants are one of those teams that's rebuilding. When you look at the NFC and you just take a really good look at their rosters and the moves that they made in the offseason, half of the six teams in the NFC are actually trying to win a championship. And then the rest of the league is really tanking.
Right.
And not tanking.
Hold on, say that again.
The rest of the
no,
NFC.
No, before what you said before that to lead to that.
I was saying, when you look at the NFC, six teams are trying to win a championship in that conference.
Okay.
And then the rest of the conference, they're just tanking. They're just, yeah. they're not really being.
Okay. Omar, check this out.
Hold on, auntie. Let me ask Omar a question real quick. Omar.
Yes, sir.
Before the Dolphins tank, did you ever use the word tanking in football?
Yeah.
Be honest. Be honest.
Their teams have tanked way before that.
But did you use the word tank?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right. Auntie, 0% chance that he ever used the word tank before the Dolphins and Stephen Ross tanked.
Oh,
okay.
No, right. I'm sorry. To Indianapolis Colts when they were tanking for Andrew Luck, I did use the word tank.
But you know what? That's what journalists have to do. They got to be creative with their words. And that's probably why he won Sports Journalist of the Year in Florida, because he had to cover the Miami Dolphins. So he had to make up a lot of stories. But look, I go back to the Giants offensive line. They actually did sign a lot. They signed Mark Lewinsky from the Indianapolis Colts, John Feliciano from the Buffalo Bills, Jameel Douglas from the Bills and the Washington football team, Matt Gano from the Atlanta Falcons.
Not the Washington football team anymore, Auntie. Keep up.
You're right. Well, that's where he was from. That's where he played when he was at the Washington.
They went from the Redskins to the football team to the Commanders.
Well, they got Max Garcia from the Arizona Cardinals, and they're also really excited about this young man, Roy Mabateka from the NFL Academy, 6'9", 320-pound offensive tackle.
Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football package.
He has no high school. Check this out. He has no high school or college football experience, and he's lived his whole life in Nigeria. The Giants believe he can develop into an NFL caliber lineman. And so I'm going to ask y'all this question real quick.
What they did is they drafted Evan Neal in the first round.
Let me ask y'all, Evan Neal can play. Do you, when you have a brand new offensive line, right, and you didn't make any splash offensive line signings, do you still say Saquon is a bust if his offensive line is trash again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You think SiriusXM has what? Probably more than 150 million active listeners. You think listeners on SXM care about the offensive line the Giants have?
Right.
They're not going to think about that. You know what they're going to say is Saquon is a bust if he doesn't.
Why are you paying him $7 million? Right.
Right. That's the only thing they're going to say. They don't care. Omar Kelly, do they care?
No, I'm one of the few people that actually care about offensive line play.
Yo, but you know what? I don't care about offensive line.
No, I do. I'm one of the few who actually does.
I don't care about offensive line play, but you know what? I do care about offense. And so when I think about offense and, you know, I'm a basketball player, I think about Klay Thompson. And bruh, like, I hear there's some Klay Thompson news, Brandon. Like, you got to holler at us about some Klay Thompson news.
Okay.
After the Warriors won or something like that?
Yeah. So listen, basically, Klay Thompson Anthony, come help me out here. So, Auntie, they've been on this run with Klay Thompson
and
the Warriors, right? Like, since they won, it's us versus the world. It's day after day. There's some new story. Anthony, help us out here with this Klay Thompson on media after Warriors won, Chip.
Yeah, so the crusade of the Golden State Warriors of us against the world after winning a chip is still going on, because yesterday, Klay Thompson went on Instagram Live and he called out those in the media who said the Warriors were done and they wouldn't win another NBA title in the foreseeable future. Check them out.
Anyone who has the expert under TV analysis of their respective sport, but never really did the damn thing, you can't trust them. You can't trust their opinion. You can't trust their expertise, because they literally said we were dead in the water. And what did we do? Win the championship. So how did it feel? I know it hurt him.
All right. Stephen Curry responded to that video by saying, ha, 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 ha. That's my dog. All right. I love to have fun with this show with I Am Athlete tonight. And we've had a lot of fun tonight. But I'm going to make it somewhat serious with this topic. Omar Kelly, I think you're one of the best contributors we have of I Am Athlete tonight. You obviously did not play in the NFL.
Award winning Hall of Famer.
Debatable if you want. He is a Hall of Fame writer, as we just mentioned. But Omar Kelly, you didn't play the game. Listening to a comment like that, saying that someone didn't play the game is not in a position to have an opinion. I just want to hear your thoughts real quick on it.
I think everybody has a right to have an opinion, and to be an analyst, it requires work, because he's saying that the people who do the work and study and to talk to the people, you know how many people I talk to formulate just my opinions That requires work. So it's a little disrespectful. And now Klay Thompson is in that crowd of athletes, I'm assuming, who believes that the only way you can talk about an NBA player is if you were an NBA player or if you were a WNBA
player. New media, baby.
Yeah. New media. And that's fair. I understand where they're coming from. They're tired of being criticized, but they also got to understand that there's work required to be a journalist. There's work required to learn how to interview people.
Somebody has a chip on their shoulder.
There's work required to storytelling, and you just don't show up and all of a sudden, you know, you're great at what you do.
Video right now is Omar Kelly's hand gestures right now.
I mean, he moving his hands. I had to back up when he was moving his hands, and I'm on Zoom.
So, you know, hey, you won the championship, and right. You should be proud of it. You're still taking a victory lap. I believed in the Warriors. I was an analyst who actually was in the minority here and said that they were going to win the championship, and they did. You know, I had a 50-50 chance of being right or wrong.
Omar, let's get to the real conversation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how much work did you put into being a journalist?
5 years.
22 years.
Five years of training and then 22 years of work.
So I Am Athlete, you know, the big show, right? Like the weekly show. We like to get messy, but we also like to be vulnerable. Uh-huh. Can you get vulnerable with us right now?
Yes, I can.
Do
you feel threatened right now as a journalist that the athletes are coming in and disrupting?
I have always felt like, especially in the NFL, athletes have not taken advantage of the platforms that they've had. And I felt like they should use those platforms better to communicate with their audience. So I don't feel threatened. And I don't feel like I need to be on TV to be successful. That wasn't my dream when I was growing up.
Right.
But in the media, our business has changed and it continues to evolve. And every 3 years it changes and it's something new. So is new media an evolution of what we've been doing? Absolutely. And fans are gravitating to it. So do I feel threatened? No, but I do think that the athletes who are part of new media also have to understand what media is.
But so sometimes y'all be going over the top too. Sometimes, because think about this. I'm not a professional chef, mm-hmm. but I can cook.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm not going to go tell Gordon Ramsay how to prepare his dishes.
Okay.
I'm going to tell him it tastes good or it tastes bad. Right. Mm. And I say that to say that all media isn't informed media. All media hasn't studied like you. And I think they get personal feelings in there. And because they have those platforms, then they can tell the athlete, hey, shut up and dribble, or y'all sorry, y'all not going to win the championship, like stuff like that. And so I think they deserve, I like that Klay went clap back on them. They get to, the media gets to talk about athletes all the time. And now the media wants to get in their feelings when an athlete claps back.
Preach.
You lucky I ain't playing today, because y'all banned me from Twitter, TikTok.
You'll be playing today, making $225,000.
And I'll be making
$25 million.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.